You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Season with your boys Anthony Sane and Jason Smith. Be sure to download the free Odyssey app. Subscribe. Keep it a couple doing this podcast. Just search for Grind Season. You can find it anywhere that you get your podcast. On to our final segment, saying, talking about these Grizzlies rookies, I think going into the season, you knew that with Jaren Jackson down, there'd be a chance for some of these guys, Jake LaRavia, David Roddy, to get some extended minutes rather than just going straight to the G League. And so we've seen, you know, at times Jake LaRavia come in there, have some games, 9 rebounds, seen him knock down the shots. He's shooting over 50% from three. David Roddy, we've had a fairly decent look at. Certainly more for those two than we've seen with Kennedy. In terms of what you've seen so far, and it's for the most part, you know, small sample size, what have you thought, first off, of Jake LaRavia?
I'm very optimistic about Jake. I said coming into this summer, right, I was on, you know, my own show, or you guys' show, or podcasting, whatever I was doing. All I need is one guy from this rookie class to emerge,
right,
to show that he's the guy that can belong in this rotation. Because I thought that guys like the combination of John Conchar and whatever Zaire gives you, I felt that would replace everything that Anthony Melton did and more. So I thought it would exceed what Anthony Melton gave you. And I thought that if you can just get one of those guys, he's a LaRavia or Roddy, to hit, is going to, you know, replace what Kyle did as well. And I said this. I think if anything else, if nothing else, Jake LaRavia can make 3-point shots. Jake LaRavia has shown that not only can he shoot the ball, he might be the second best spot up shooter on his team beside Desmond Bain, but he's also crafty as far as being able to put the ball on the ground a little bit.
A little step back and three action the other night too from him. Yeah.
Decision making, playmaking, making good passes. Defense, steals and blocks, he gets them. You know what I mean? He's not the fastest kid on his feet, but he's a very high IQ basketball player. That's something that you heard about. When it comes down to the basketball IQ, that's something you got to see on the court to really understand it. And he does a lot of things right. I'm super excited about Jake, man. He his jump shot is getting better and better. His confidence is getting better and better. And I told people, don't worry about people like, man, in some league, he can't make a shot. And I was at the open practice and he couldn't make a shot. And all I said, man, it's the difference between playing with Kennedy Chandler. We'll talk about Kennedy later. No taking shots at Kennedy. It's the difference between playing with Kennedy Chandler in the summer league and playing with John Morant, one of the better point guards in the league.
Yeah.
When the lights really come on and playing with Ja, like I said, has boosted his confidence. And Jake's looking like a hell of a player, man. And I think the minutes he's playing now are kind of, you know, where he's going to fit in the rotation when things get going for real, when we have, you know, Jaren back and Zaire back. So I think he's still kind of carved those minutes out. I would not be surprised if by season's end, he starts cutting into some of Jitty's minutes, though. John Conchar has been great, but LaRavia is, you know, he's taller. He shoots the ball just as well. They kind of got some of that same craftiness about themselves, especially on their defensive end. But I'm really excited about Jake's promise here with this team.
Now, said I couldn't agree with you more on LaRavia from what we've seen. It's not just a guy that's going out there, can't contribute if he's not knocking down the three. Seeing a guy stick his nose in there, being willing to do the dirty work. And I like the little bit of grit with him. You know, he's got the tools and the skill level, but you also see some grit and some high IQ that you like as well. Mm-hmm. Now I'm having a harder time figuring out how David Roddy is going to fit in, if he's going to fit in. A bit of a tweener, was 6'5", 50. Is he a wing guy? Is he more of an inside guy? What have you so far about Roddy and his rookie, and what the expectation level should be for him?
Yeah, Roddy, I think he's a wing. There are a lot of people saying that thought he would be like a small ball power forward. I think he's going to be a wing with the Grizzlies. I was joking with my good friend Parker Fleming, Grizzly Bear Blues. He made a good comparison. He said, if you look at how they're using Roddy, it's like almost like they're using him to be another version of Dylan, because they're trying to use him to be like the guy who guards the best defender on the other team, a point of attack defender, as well as a guy who kind of, you know, he comes off the screens, kind of using the way they're using Dylan offensively. And I call him a domesticated Dylan, probably a much more teachable, moldable version of Dylan Brooks. I think this is what they're ultimately trying to do with him, to kind of create more Dylan Brooks insurance. I think his biggest struggle is just adjusting to the NBA game and adjusting to his role. That's something that you see like in a guy like Jonathan Kuminga with the Golden State Warriors, who has been an alpha his entire life. He's been the best player on the court. Taking those type of guys and asking them to play a role in the NBA, sometimes guys just don't adjust to that. Some guys are not made for microwave minutes. Sometimes some guys have to be in the flow. They've got to get a lot of minutes before they can get going and to be feel like they're part of the offense. Case in point, Javon Carter. Javon Carter did not work for us when we tried to bring him off the bench and come in and just play a role real fast. But yeah, now that he's playing in a role that you would assume is too big for him with Milwaukee, he's thriving, because some guys are just made like that. Roddy, he's still adjusting being that guy who could come in those spot minutes and contribute, because he's used to being this alpha in a small school like Colorado State. But now you see him in the NBA and he's trying to adjust his game to that. I mean, and that's fine. There's no need to rush to David Roddy. We already have, you know, Buck Wild, non-domesticated David Roddy's already on this team and Dylan Brooks. So there's no need to rush him at all. I trust the process with him. He's struggling, and he's had games where you've seen flashes of really greatness from him. But there's no rush to bring him along, like I said. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be a hell of a player. I think he fits the culture. I think he likes it here, and I think the players like him. It seems like Dylan's kind of taking him under his wing. So, I mean, he'll be fine, man. I mean, we haven't really seen a lot of him as far as the good. We've seen a lot of oohs and ahs in the bad way about him, but I think he'll work out, man. This time last year, just being honest with you, he looks better to me now than Zaire looked at this point last year. So, we'll see, man.
Yeah. Zaire
was looking kind of
to stretchy. Start. It did. Yeah. It did. Yeah. And then we certainly had the Santi example last year.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That said, man,
put him on the court. Yeah, exactly.
So maybe this is a that miss for the office, but it ended up not being. And so, you know, a lot of times you got to let that thing cook. You got to let that thing bake. And David Roddy certainly going to be a minute. Kennedy Chandler, I ask it this way, Sam, because we know he's behind Ja. You're behind Tyus Jones. You knew that when the Grizzlies brought you in. Just in terms of, do you see him in the future, whether it's with the Grizzlies, somebody as a backup point guard in this league, a guy can hold down? Do you see him? You know, is the ceiling higher for Kennedy Chandler? Just what have you thought so far of him and what he can be for an organization?
Yeah, man, Kennedy will be fine too. I know I'm just giving everybody a huge thumbs up, just being real, man, he's a sneaky athletic point guard, probably way more athletic than people probably are aware of. Great on ball defender. I think that he can, you know, pretty much wreak havoc and create guys to have to, you know, change direction and those type of things already in the NBA as a rookie. I think he's a guy who can kind of hold his own a little bit defensively. And like I said, he's a guy who's got time. Tyus Jones signed a 2-year deal. And I think by year three, that Kennedy definitely be a guy who's, you know, ready to come in and contribute. Again, no rush with him, man. Like he's an active roster guy. So he gets the ability to not only go to play, you know, in the G League, with the Memphis Hustle, but he's actually on the Grizzlies bench as well to see things up close. And I'm not sure how they're going with him, because he hasn't reported to the Hustle yet. But I'm sure I'm hoping they're going to spend kind of like, he's going to have a dual role where he'll do some Hustle games. I don't want him just to be sitting on the bench. I don't want him just to be sitting around. So hopefully he'll get some run with the Hustle. But he's a hometown kid. I sat behind his parents last game I was at. Yeah, man. So I'm pulling for Kennedy. I think he'll be fine. I haven't seen him make a shot yet.
he hasn't made a three yet. Yeah.
I haven't seen him yet. I haven't seen him make a three yet, is what I mean. But I know that's in his bag. I know that was part of the reason why he was a heralded player by the Memphis Grizzlies organization, because he's one of those guys who can be a playmaker defensively. His high basketball IQ, and he can knock down shots. We haven't seen that yet. It's kind of a mystery why. I mean, because even like in preseason and summer league, he wasn't, you know, shooting the ball well. But I think he'll be fine, man. I think that added pressure playing for your city in your city hurts. It hurts a lot of guys. And I think he could be struggling with that. But he'll get it together, man. Because did you see the dance video though? Did you see him in kind of leading the kind of that campaign role almost?
No, I saw. You know, we were both at that open practice and saw what he a little bit of what he could do there, but not yeah. I hadn't seen that he in that campaign Oklahoma City role.
Yeah, he was kind of leading.
Want to play too much? You don't get pigeonholed in that role.
Yeah, don't get stuck.
don't get stuck in there like Cam did for a minute. Man, it set my boy Cam. You talk about another Memphis guy campaigning. It set his career back, felt like it did for Cam Payne. You want to be known for more than just the dance guy.
It seems like being a top level Memphis guard, man, comes with juking and carrying on, man.
Yeah,
gyrating.
Yeah, yeah. Be part of your repertoire.
Part of the package. Yeah.
Don't let that be the only thing you. You know what I'm saying? And we know, man. Yeah, I've got the utmost, confidence in Kennedy as well. And having watched him grow up, here in Memphis. And the other thing he's got going for him, saying, is that he's got Jaren in his corner. He's got a great relationship with Ja. And that Ja's taking him under his wing. Kennedy's future is bright for him, it feels like, as well, whether that's with the Grizzlies or someone else.